Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for John's Gospel particularly. And we pray now as we think and read and listen that you would teach us so that we can serve the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Chapter 1. They really wanted to hurt him this time. We escaped, but only just. It was a quick dash back to the Jordan, away from their anger, back to the cool of the water and the safety of the other side. It was good to pause, a chance to remember some of the happier times. That wedding in Cana, what a party that was. And then all those baskets of bread. What about that time he saved us from drowning in the waves? So much had happened in such a short time. It was good to rest, to remember, and to get away from the crowds, always the crowds, pressing in, demanding from him, wanting to be looked after and led. We were all exhausted. It was good to rest. Who knows what the future holds? But now he's saying, let's go back, back to Bethany. Is he mad? It's not that long ago they tried to kill him over there. He says Lazarus has died and we must go back. By all reports, he's been dead a couple of days and buried. What's the point of going back? I know he loved Lazarus and his sisters. We all loved them. But he's dead. He once said, let the dead bury the dead. But he's got that look in his eye again. That focus, that determination, even light. He'll go on his own if he has to. He's got that determined look. And he's talking in riddles again, talking about waking Lazarus up. Wants to show God's glory. I mean, what can he do? Lazarus is dead. And if he goes to Bethany, he's dead too. What can we do? We can't stop him. We've tried that, and it doesn't work. So I said to the others, come on, let's all go. At least we'll all die together. Chapter 2. You don't expect your own brother to die. Grandparents, yes. Mum and dad, maybe. But you don't expect your brother to die. And it all happened so quickly. One moment he was there, eating and laughing like the rest of us. The next minute, dead and in a tomb. One minute we're just a normal family. And the next minute we're surrounded by people wailing and beating their chests, tossing sand in the air. Even some friends from Jerusalem came down. But it all passed me by somehow. The only one I wanted there was him. And I can't understand why he didn't come sooner. We knew he loved him. I don't know what I thought he could do. I just thought Lazarus would be better off if he was here. I was a bit angry when he turned up. And yet he looked at me so tenderly. And he just said Lazarus would rise again. I knew that. I knew that Lazarus would rise again on the last day. But Jesus seemed to be saying something different, something about himself being the resurrection. I'm not sure what he meant exactly. I just told him that I believed in him. I believed that God had sent him. Who knows what he could do? I told Mary he was here. She had always loved him, even more than Lazarus and me, and she ran to see him, took the crowd with her, fell at his feet. She wept and wept, and all our friends were weeping, and he began to weep too. He had a strange look on his face, a mix of anger and pain. At any moment, I thought he'd explode. Only then did I sense how much he loved our brother. We took him to the tomb. He still looked like he was fighting to control himself. They rolled the stone back. The stink was terrible. Dead is dead. He knew that. But he talked about God's glory again. And if we would only believe in him. Then he prayed, "Father, thank you that you've heard me." And the look in his eyes changed. It was as if he was shining now. Something strange was happening, and I was nervous and excited and frightened all at the same time. Then he just shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And he did. He did. He was alive. We couldn't believe it. We raced to take the grave clothes off him. We weren't worried at all about being unclean. We were just thrilled to see him. Only then did I start to understand what he meant when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Chapter 3. It's an extraordinary miracle, isn't it? Raising a dead man. It's the seventh and final miracle in John's Gospel. And if you are wondering in your discussion what the main point of the miracle is, you could do no worse than if you went to the end of John's Gospel, and if you looked in chapter 20, you'll find right at the end of chapter 20, verse 31, what John himself tells us is the purpose of all the miracles in John's Gospel. And he writes this: "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's the purpose. That's the point. All these miracles, including this one, are written here, recorded for us. The resurrection power of God displayed in raising Lazarus from the dead is recorded for a purpose for you, that you might read it and know and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you might have life in his name. Do you believe that? That's what this miracle is challenging you to believe. When we look at this miracle through the eyes of Thomas and Martha, which I've just tried to do, you get two perspectives on what's going on. You get a set of emotions, a set of expectations, perhaps. We see some uncertainty, incomprehension, grief, love, anger, frustration, and eventually joy. But what do you see? What do you feel when you hear this story, when you read this story? What does it make you think? What do you believe? Now, there could be all sorts of things that go on in your mind when you read a story like this, and it might depend on your experience of death. My first experience of death was when I was 10. I grew up with grandparents, parents and us living in the same three generations in the house. I came home one day from school, I was about 10 years of age, to find my grandmother had died. That was my first experience of death. Subsequently had a number of other members of my family died, and then I became a minister. And I remember preaching at Ridley College once, and I said, if you're going to be in ministry and you want to share in people's lives, you have to be prepared to share in their deaths as well. Not always their literal deaths, but their dying, their experiences of tragedy and grief. You have to be prepared to do that, to sit with people. So when I read a story like this, I see this as a miracle of hope. I see this and I feel Jesus' love for Lazarus and his sisters. I see the joy. I feel the joy because it tells me that death is not the end. Death does not have the final say. Death is extraordinarily brutal and final when you confront it in your own life. If someone you love dies, it is so final. But this story is telling us that's not the end. I see the Son of God taking charge in this situation and saying to death, "Death, you are dead. You are finished. You cannot hold the people I love. There is hope. So what do you see? What do you feel? What do you believe? I just want to point out two things that I think God wants us to see from this passage. Firstly, around the word glory. If you look at your Bible and you look in verse 4, Jesus says, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And just as we heard the reading read, I noticed in verse 40, after Jesus has talked to Martha, he says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So right at the start and near the end, there's a reference here to God's glory, about something about seeing God's glory. It might have intrigued you. Why does Jesus delay coming to Bethany when he hears that Lazarus is sick? I think one of the reason is he wants to ensure that everybody knows Lazarus is dead. We're not dealing with someone who's just fainted. We're dealing with somebody who's dead. And therefore, everyone feels then the natural grief that occurs. And what we're being shown here, the way that God's glory is at work here, takes in the big story of the Bible that ever since Adam and Eve, death has intruded into life. The Apostle Paul will call death the last enemy. It's an enemy of life because it takes people we love. And what Jesus is doing here is he is showing God's glory and his own glory in overturning this enemy, in saying to this enemy, "You are now defeated. Death is no longer." And it's a foretaste and a sign pointing forward to Jesus' own death, through which death will ultimately be defeated. So there's God's glory being displayed in Jesus, the one who has power over life and death, the one who has the authority to say to someone who is dead, "Come out, come alive again." That is God's glory being shown to you. Praise be to God. Hallowed be your name. Amen. The second thing I'd like to refer you to is the most famous verse in this passage. Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." It's a cryptic saying, and if you know your Bible, you could easily just read it and not fully take it in. But he's saying to us that if you believe in Jesus, you will die a physical death, but that will not be the end. And he's talking here about life in two ways. If you believe in Jesus, you will live life now. I don't mean just breathe and exist and pay your taxes and do your assignments and get your degree and get your job. I don't mean just that. He's saying, if you believe in me, you will know why you're here. You will have purpose and meaning in your life. So many people spend a long time in their life trying to figure out why they're here. What's the point? Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you will know why you're here. You will have life, life to the full, here now. See, Martha doesn't understand when Jesus says, "I'm going to raise Lazarus." And she thinks, "Oh yeah, that's going to happen sometime in the future." And he says, no. It's going to happen now because I am the resurrection. I'm going to bring life now. So if you're here tonight and you don't know who Jesus is, what you're missing out on is life. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you will have life now. It's a promise for today. For tonight. The other thing he's saying is that even though you die, you will live. That's talking about a future life. That's what Martha believed in. That's talking about eternal life, a big theme in John's Gospel. Back in chapter 10, he says, those who believe in me will have eternal life, and no one can snatch you from God. I'm your good shepherd. I will look after you as my sheep. Now, lots of people are frightened by death. Lots of people don't know what happens when you die. When death comes calling, lots of people feel completely uncertain, desperate. And Jesus is saying here, there is no need for that. The path is clear. You do not need to fear anything. Even though you will die, you will live. That means a Christian death is different to somebody who doesn't have faith. And a Christian funeral, although it will express grief, will also have the colouring of joy, because we know the person has gone home. And Jesus talks about going home in chapter 14 of John, where he says that it's like a big house. My Father's house has room for everybody. And you know where you're going. And Thomas, isn't it great? Thomas is in the Bible, says, we don't know where we're going. What are you talking about? And that's when Jesus gives one of his other famous lines, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. World-famous American evangelist Billy Graham died a couple of weeks ago. Billy Graham lived to 99. And even though he lived a long life, he knew at some stage he would die. And commenting on his own death some years ago, he borrowed a sentiment that was first expressed by 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody. Graham said this about his impending death. He said, one day you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have just changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. That shows you what belief in resurrection life is like. That shows you what Christian hope is like. Jesus looks at Martha in verse 26. He's explained to her, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will have life, even though you die. And then he says to her, do you believe? And that's my question to you tonight. Do you believe this? Am I just talking through a hole in my hat? Or do you believe this? Now, before you answer that, let's unpack just a little bit. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? If you can say yes inside your head, or shout it out if you want, I don't care. Do you believe Jesus raised Lazarus from death to life? And do you believe he will raise you from death to life? Do you believe that even though you will die, you will live forever? Do you believe that Jesus has the power over life and death? Do you believe that the best way to live your life is to put your trust in Jesus? They're big questions. And the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead is saying to you, believe. 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 That's what it's saying to you. Have no doubts. Believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, the most important person for you to ever know. It's all there so that you may believe and have life in his name. If you've never done this, if you're sitting there tonight thinking, I have no idea what this guy's talking about, then feel free to come and ask questions of me or Jordan. We're not frightened by questions. You're allowed to have questions. And we'd love to help you, help discuss Christianity and belief in Jesus with you. We'd be delighted to do that. If you are a Christian, go out with confidence in the Lord. Go out knowing that not only did he raise Lazarus from the dead, not only was he himself raised from the dead, but one day you will be raised from the dead as well. Let that fill your heart with joy. Let that fill your mind with hope. Let it overturn all the horrible stuff that happens in life. Go out and spread the good news and rejoice in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.